Now it's the time you've been waiting for. You're in the mix with film producer Jason Slack, a.k.a. the talk of the town now. The 40 Vision Films man himself, the owner of the Jason Slack brand. The place to be is here on the Vision Live Network. And now, let's get it in. Welcome to the Slack is Talk podcast.
Welcome to the Slack is Talk podcast, a.k.a. the talk of the town now. I'm your host, film producer Jason Slack. And on today's show, it's going to be a special episode. My first mailbag episode. So without further ado, let's get it in. Now, a couple of episodes ago, I had said that I wasn't going to do any episodes about sports because the Vision Live Network had something in the works. The Vision Live Network had something that was coming up, so I wanted to shy away from doing episodes about sports. But I did say that I was going to do mailbag episodes, and I stated that, you know, whatever questions that you guys wanted me to answer, I'm going to answer it, regardless of whether it was sports or whatever it was, I was going to answer it. And most of my questions that I got emailed to me were about sports. And, you know, some of them were anonymous, and I know it's probably from people that know me, because it was concerning information that only people that know me know, as far as like me being a Jets fan and Duke and liking the Chicago Bulls and everything. But it is what it is. So, you know, I might as well go ahead and just make it official. You know, I'm still not going to do any episodes about sports per se. But as far as the mailbag, you know, it's whatever. You know, if y'all have sports questions, email them in. You know what I mean? If it's about sports, it is what it is. Just email them in and we'll get to it. So, you know, from now on, sports questions are welcome. So now that we got that out the way, let's go ahead and get started. And my first question is from Ryan. What do you think are the chances that the Lakers repeat this year? Oh, man, it had to be about the Lakers. You know, those of you that know me, you know that I'm not a LeBron fan at all, man. I think the guy buys championships. But I got to admit that the Lakers did stack up during the offseason, you know, which is kind of weird because usually when teams win a championship, it's like in any sport, when the team wins the championship, it's like the players that were on that team, it's like it's their opportunity to go ahead and cash in. So like any player that's on that championship team, if they become a free agent, they usually leave after that because they have, you know, they won their championship. And now it's just like about, you know, getting paid to them. So, you know, usually after a championship run, that team usually loses a lot of its players. But this was different. It seemed like during the offseason, the Lakers got better. And it was like strange to me because I'm like, wow, man, where are they getting this money from? You know, a lot of people losing money during the pandemic. You know, a lot of owners are losing money, and a lot of owners are like trying to cut costs. You know, revenue is down and things of that nature, and the Lakers just reloaded. Unfortunately, man, you know, I have to say, like, the chances of them repeating is high. You know, I have to admit, you know, a lot of other teams that are threats have a lot of question marks. Like the New Jersey Nets. I mean, offensively, it's probably like one of the greatest offensive teams assembled with just those three players alone. Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. But you have to wonder about defense with them. In the playoffs, it's a 7-game series. And if every team that you face have better defense, you know, there's going to be some times where, you know, the shots are not falling, you know. And as great as those three players are, as great as they is, you know, there's only one basketball. There's only one basketball. They all can't score at the same time. Then you got Philly. You got Boston. I kind of think the Clippers took a step back in the offseason a little bit. So there's some other good teams out there that could challenge them. But there's a lot of question marks. And it hinges on the team's ability to get those questions answered. And I don't know, as of now, that I could definitely say that there's a team out there that could do it. So I would say that the Lakers' chances of repeating are high, but I don't believe that it's impossible that, you know, I don't think it's impossible for them to lose. They can be beat. But I have to admit, you know, it's looking good for a repeat. So there's that. Next question is from B. Gordon. Do you think black coaches are getting a fair chance to coach in the NFL? Or is there something weird going on? I don't think nothing weird is going on. I actually thought about this because, you know, the hiring process of black coaches is like a hot topic. Like a lot of people talk about it. I actually have a friend of mine that don't believe in the Rooney Rule. Like, he doesn't believe that, you know, it should be necessary for a black coach to be interviewed for a job. And the only reason why he believes this is because he feels as though NFL teams already have an idea of who they want to hire or what direction they want to go in. And that being said, he feels like if you already want to hire somebody or you already know what direction you're going in, if you're a black coach, it's like, do you really just want to come in and take that interview knowing that you're not going to be hired? You know, he considered that like just a waste of time. And I kind of get that point. But looking at it in general, I don't think there's nothing weird going on. I think the black coaches that were up for jobs this year, like the coaches that were up for jobs were older coaches. You know, they were coaches that already had their run. Like, I'm a Jets fan, and we brought in Marvin Lewis for an interview. You know, Marvin Lewis coached the Cincinnati Bengals for about 14, 15 years straight. And he's in the college ranks now, but he's been out of the NFL for some years. And I think, you know, I just think because he's older and he's been out of the league like so long that might scare some teams away. He has a bad history of, you know, in the playoffs. His playoff career record is not so great. And I think that scares people off. You had Lovie Smith. His name came up. He's another older coach that, you know, may have had his best years. You know, his best coaching years may be behind him already. But the one guy that, you know, everybody keeps talking about is Eric Bieniemy of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I get it. You know, he's been a hot coordinator for the last 3 or 4 years. You know, Kansas City Chiefs are rolling. They won the Super Bowl already, and they back again this year. And I think the issue with him, you know, it's kind of like unbelievable to a lot of people that he don't have a job yet. And I think with him, the word going around is Andy Reid is actually the guy that runs Kansas City offense. Now, Bieniemy has a part and a role in it, but it's actually Andy Reid's offense, and Andy Reid is the one that calls the plays. I think teams that are interested in hiring Eric Bieniemy, I think they're interested because they want to believe that he's the guy that's behind the success of Patrick Mahomes. They want to believe that he's the guy that's, you know, he's the reason why Kansas City's offense is so successful. I think any team that hire him or looks into hiring him, they would be hiring him and interested in him for that reason. And it's just like, if there's a doubt of him, like, calling the plays or him being the mastermind behind the whole Kansas City offense, if there's any doubt, that's going to scare teams away. But I think overall, in general, to answer your question, I think the candidates that were up this year all had, like, circumstances surrounding them. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, had to do with them being black or who they are, but they all kind of, like, had question marks or something going on surrounding them at the time. So, nah, I don't think nothing is weird yet, but I'm going to keep, you know, looking at the situation and see if I see anything different.
It's going down with the Vision Live Network, the number one network in the game. The Vision is live.
What's up, y'all? This is your boy, Jason Slack, from the Slack is Talk podcast. And I just want to say thank you for tuning in and listening to my show each and every week. I just wanted to stop by and let you guys know that you don't have to just listen to the show from one place. I'm available everywhere. I know you guys all have something different. That's why the Slack is Talk podcast is available on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many more. Whatever your favorite platform is, you can subscribe to the Slack is Talk podcast. Once you subscribe, my new episodes will automatically be sent to your device, and you can now listen to my show while you're on the go. Come on, man. We already know you're leaving. Just take me with you.
And now, let's get it in. Welcome to the Slack is Talk podcast.
The Vision is live.
And welcome back to the Slack is Talk podcast, our special mailbag sports edition. And let's jump right back in. And this next question was anonymous. And it goes, we know that you are a Jets fan. What do you think of the Jets hiring head coach Robert Saleh? That's a good one. I got to admit, you know, at first, I didn't know who Robert Saleh was. And then I did my research on him, and I found out that, you know, he was San Francisco's defensive coordinator. He was San Francisco's defensive coordinator for about 4 years. And in those first 2 years, San Francisco's defense was stacked. I mean, they was loaded. They were stacked. Especially that defensive line. They probably had the best defensive line in the league those years. They had linebackers that roamed. And I always thought that they was just a cornerback away from that defense being historic. If they had, like, good cornerback play, we talking about, like, probably, like, maybe, like, an all-time defense. But anytime, you know, you have, like, a lot of talent, when you evaluating a head coach or coordinator, you have to look and decide, you know, how much of the success is due to talent and how much of it is due to his coaching. Now, I'm a believer that, you know, if you have a lot of talent, you're going to have a lot of success anyway. I still think you got to go out and coach. I still think you got to coach it, you know. You got to make sure everybody's on one accord. You got to make sure those egos are in check. But I believe that, you know, a certain amount of talent is going to get you a certain amount of success. Now, what drew me to him was this past year in San Francisco. San Francisco, this past year, they had a lot of injuries. And on top of that, they lost a lot of good players due to free agency the year before. So he didn't have that stacked roster to deal with. He actually had to go out and, you know, coach and scheme around certain things. And with that being said, even with all the injuries and people leaving, he still had a top five, top 10 unit. You know, and that's impressive. You know, stories and situations like that lead me to believe that that's a coaching job. That's a coaching job more than it is talent. And for me, as far as him becoming the head coach of the Jets, anytime, you know, you switch over from being the coordinator to a head coach, you never know until, you know, it plays out. But for me, I'm just happy to see Adam Gase go. Like, I'm just happy to see him go first and foremost. And I wanted somebody new this time around. I wanted somebody who had never been a head coach before. I didn't want a retread. I didn't want a coach from another team that was losing. And you're going to try to sell me on the idea that him losing last year was some kind of mistake. He's just going to come to this team and lightning's going to strike and he's going to start winning now. You know, I just wanted a fresh start with somebody new. Robert Saleh, he's young. He's energetic. You see him screaming on the sidelines. You know, he's a player coach. I like that. He kind of reminds me of Rex Ryan. I love Rex Ryan as a coach. You know what I'm saying? He believes in his players and everything. And I like it. I'm a defensive guy myself. You know, I'm on the defensive side of football myself. So I love those kind of coaches anyway. And I'm all for it, man. I love to hire. You know, let's get in there. You know, let's get these free agents in there. Let's get these draft picks and let's go. Let's do it. I'm all in. And the next question is from Deidre. What do you make of the college basketball season so far with Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky all losing? And I have to throw in there, you know, I'm a Duke Blue Devil. I'm a Duke fan for life. And it's unfortunate, you know, we're getting our asses kicked this year. Excuse my language. There's kids listening. But as far as the basketball, college basketball season, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't get into it. You know, this pandemic and the no fans business, no fans able to be in attendance, it changes everything. And like, you know, I can do NBA basketball. It's not the same, but I could do NBA basketball. I had no problem watching the NFL with no fans. It's not bad at all. Baseball was okay. I could still make do and get by with it. It's okay. I could do that. And whoever doesn't know me know I'm the biggest like wrestling fan there is. And when I first heard that they was going to do wrestling without fans, I thought to myself, like, no way. Like, this is not possible, man. I can't imagine this in my wildest dream. But they do it. Every Mondays and Fridays, they do it, and they pull it off. Like, it's almost to a point where it is to a point where I've gotten used to it. And, like, it doesn't really, it's not the same, but it really doesn't affect the overall product in general. But college basketball, I just can't do it. Like, I guess, like, the announcers and the overall hype that's built around the game, I guess that was it for me. I guess that's, you know, you never know what's missing until you don't have it no more. But I guess, like, the announced team and the hype surrounding the game, I guess that's what I was attracted to, because I just can't get into it. Now, I watched the the scores and pay attention to see what's going on. But, it's not the same. About Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky, I think because of the pandemic and the way everything is set up, I think those teams, those veteran teams like Gonzaga and Villanova, those veteran teams that have like seniors and three-year starters, they're going to have the advantage this year more than ever because, you know, practices are limited, preparation is limited, and those teams that have those 3-4 year starters, they already know each other and they already had the luxury of being together for years. So I think they're going to win a lot more games. And Duke, Kentucky, and Carolina, the teams that are more like, you know, freshmen's and one and done's, there's going to be like a curve. Like there's going to be a lot more losing because that same time, practice and surroundings is just not there. So, and I think that has a lot to do with it, if not all to do with it. But overall in college basketball, like, I just can't do it. And my last question is from Cliff. What do you make of no one being inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame this year? It's suspected. Like, no surprise to me at all. Like, it's definitely expected. That steroid era messed up everything, man. Steroids messed up. It messed up the sport. And it's unfortunate because there was a lot of people, a lot of players that were using it and didn't need to. Like, you already a great player. You're already a Hall of Famer without it. Like, it's just like, why? You know, Barry Bonds, when he was on Pittsburgh, that cat was still averaging 30, 40 home runs a game. Like, you know, why? Like, there's just a whole bunch of, like, Hall of Famers that were made already. And it was just like, I don't understand it, you know? And because of that, you know, a whole entire era of baseball is going to be wiped out. Like, there's going to be, like, probably, like, you know, I don't know how long, but it's going to be a couple of years. It's going to be, like, a couple of years where no one gets inducted or maybe one of, you know, maybe just one or two players. And the situation from all this, like, it's bad enough that you had, you know, RBI leaders and home run leaders doing it and, you know, big names that were just the best and on top of the sport. But there was also, like, players that may not have been at the top of the game. Like, you had players that may not have been the best at their position, but still put up Hall of Fame numbers. But because they were overshadowed by the bigger names that took steroids, their name don't carry the same weight and they don't get that same credibility. So it's disrespected, it's unfortunate, but there's going to be a lot of years of this. Like, a whole era of baseball has to be wiped out because of the scandal. And it will begin to pick back up, but it's definitely going to be a minute. That's all for my show today. This has been the Slackers Talk Podcast, a.k.a. the Talk of the Town Now. Thank y'all for listening. Stay blessed. And we'll be back again to talk more on the Slackers Talk.
You're listening to the Slackers Talk Podcast, a.k.a. the Talk of the Town Now. Find out what's going to happen next.